Hello, everyone, and welcome to People Magazine on Voice Corps. My name is Debbie Stevens, and for the next hour, I'm going to be reading from the June 22nd, 2026 edition of People Magazine. And on the cover this week, it's Billy Ray Cyrus, a People Magazine exclusive, rebuilding his life and finding new love. I'm learning to try again. The singer on Falling for Elizabeth Hurley, following a tumultuous period, recording a new album after overcoming vocal issues and finding peace with his famous family. And the Windsors and the Kennedys, forever linked by secrets and tragedy. And true crime, murdered by her wedding photographer. Evil, quote-unquote, con woman, killed a Texas mom for her unborn baby. So let's take a look inside at those stories. And first up, Billy Ray Cyrus, that People Magazine exclusive. Music saved my life. The country veteran returns with a raw new record after surviving a turbulent stretch. Somehow, I got to try again. Billy Ray Cyrus revs up his red dirt bike, once, twice, then takes off, zooming up the biggest hill on his sprawling property outside of Nashville, where the country music star has lived for 30 years. At the top, he disembarks, stands still, and takes in the view. "Want to meet my mom?" Cyrus, 64, suddenly asks. "She's buried over here." Behind him is his mother Ruthie's grave. She died in 2022 during an already challenging period for Cyrus as he navigated a divorce and later an illness that left him hospitalized. "He comes to this hill every day," he says, and it's the inspiration behind his first new original album in 14 years. The Hill, it's out now, is Cyrus's emotional return after finding love again with actress Elizabeth Hurley, 61, following another divorce, patching things up with his once fractured family, and reconnecting with music when he worried his voice was shot. "I had entered a period where I had not worked for a really long time, and then I realized today," I said, "Cyrus, you're working now, man. Be careful what you ask for. You said you wanted to get on the ride. Well, here you go." His wild, winding ride began in Kentucky, where he was born to parents Ron and Ruth Ann Cyrus, and had an early knack for baseball. He was a catcher, once scouted by the Dodgers and the Reds, and thought he would go pro. But he couldn't get the thought of pursuing music out of his head. His grandfather played the fiddle, his mother the piano. "I started hearing this voice say, 'Buy a guitar and start a band. You'll find your purpose in life.'" He recalls, "I traded my catcher's mitt in, and I didn't look back." Cyrus became a household name in 1992 with the worldwide success of Achy Breaky Heart off his debut album, Some Gave All. That's also when he decided to stop drinking. "I am the most sober person in the world right now," he says. "I did drink a lot until 1992, and I just quit. After 10 years of failure and being told no, I finally got a record deal, and that inner voice said, 'This is going to happen, but you have to stop drinking.' So I just stopped." A year later, he married Tish Cyrus, then Finley, with whom he shares superstar Miley, 33, and her fellow singer-songwriter siblings, Brayson, 32, and Noah, 26. He also adopted Tish's children, Brandy, 39, and Trace, 37, and has a son, Christopher, 34, from a previous relationship. He and Tish were on and off for much of their 28-year marriage, so the couple split seemed inevitable by the time they divorced in 2022. Sometimes change is scary, and I'll keep doing the wrong thing for a long time because I'm scared of change, Cyrus says, of facing the end of his marriage to Tish, 59. But then when I finally get the courage up to commit in my mind and say, I'm going to do this, then that's the way it is. No looking back. I think that may be sometimes good for everyone to just let go. Following the pandemic and his divorce from Tish, Cyrus found himself at a low point. In the span of just 7 months, he had married and then separated from an Australian aspiring singer named Joanna Hodges, 38. He cited irreconcilable differences and inappropriate marital conduct in the divorce papers. At the time of his May 2024 filing, he had also requested an annulment on the grounds of fraud. In related court documents, both parties accused the other of various forms of abuse before agreeing to settle that August. When you're completely on the bottom, that is the only way to go. And added to this, writing a new love story. We split our time between Billy's farm in Tennessee and my country house in England, says Hurley, who adds that she loves to wield power tools in the garden, whilst Billy strums his guitar under a tree in the countryside. I love that Billy and my son Damien get on so well and spend a lot of time together, she says. In the past year, I have really enjoyed starting to get to know some of his kids, too. And he also adds, a labor of love. It was God's timing, Cyrus says, of healing his voice and recording The Hill in his first album in more than a decade. Up next, two dynasties forever linked, Camelot and the Crown. One family inherited the throne, the other built a political dynasty. Inside the surprising moments and shared struggles that unite the Kennedys and the Windsors. They came from different countries, different worlds, and different dynasties. Yet Princess Diana and Carolyn Bessette Kennedy shared an experience few people could understand, living under the glare of relentless public fascination. In the 1990s, they became two of the most photographed women in the world. Their marriages fueled endless speculation. Their clothes inspired imitators. Their every move made headlines. And when both women died tragically young, the world responded in remarkable similar ways. Mountains of flowers, wall-to-wall coverage, and a sense that something larger than a celebrity had been lost. But Diana and Carolyn were one chapter in a much longer story. For decades, the Kennedys, often described as America's closest thing to royalty, and the Windsors, have captivated the world through a mix of glamour, triumph, and scandal, and heartbreak. Few days captured that connection better than President John F. Kennedy's funeral on November 25, 1963, 3 days after he was assassinated at 46. Seeking a brief escape from the public grief that had engulfed her family, 34-year-old Jacqueline Kennedy retreated to the White House family quarters. There, she stumbled upon an unexpected sight. Prince Philip, 42, on the floor playing with her son, John F. Kennedy Jr., who had turned 3 that day. Here was this boy who had just lost his father and probably wasn't even fully aware of what was happening. And Prince Philip, who had his own share of tragedy in childhood, saw him as a father would and thought, I'm just going to comfort this young boy, says author Carolyn Halliman, whose new book, The Kennedys and the Windsors, explores the surprising intersections between the most famous political dynasty in the U.S. and Britain's royal family. All the protocol, royal or political, faded away, just leaving a moment of real human connection between these two families. If Philip's kindness toward a young JFK Jr. offered an early glimpse of the ties between the families, Jackie Kennedy and Queen Elizabeth would come to define them. In the early 60s, one was a young first lady, helping to usher in a new era of American optimism. The other was a young monarch, carrying the weight of a centuries-old institution. They had great proximity to power and soft diplomacy, but not true political power behind them, says Holloman. Yet both wielded enormous influence, balancing motherhood with life in the public eye, as they became enduring symbols of their countries. By the time Jackie arrived at Buckingham Palace for her first meeting with Queen Elizabeth in June 1961, she had long been fascinated by royalty. Years earlier, as a budding reporter, she had even slipped into a Washington Press reception, attended by the then Princess Elizabeth. However, their relationship could easily have gone off course on the wrong foot. After their early encounters, Jackie privately quipped that the Queen's hairstyle was, quote, too flat, unquote, and that she wasn't especially impressed by Buckingham Palace, notes royal biographer Sally Bedell Smith. Yet any awkwardness proved short-lived. When Jackie returned to London a year later, the Queen welcomed her for what Bedell Smith describes as a nice lunch, and the two women got on well. A shared love of horseback riding certainly helped. It was when they were riding that they felt the most themselves, says Holloman. More important, Jackie found in the Queen someone who understood the unique pressures of public life. In one conversation, Elizabeth author Holloman says, the Kennedys are an American version of what a royal family might be. There certainly are parallels. And the name of the book is The Kennedys and the Windsors. Up next, Summer House's Kyle Cook, facing his flaws and finding closure. The Bravo star reflects on the end of his marriage to Amanda Batula, the shocking news of her new romance with their co-star, and what comes next. Summer House star Kyle Cook settles into a plush armchair on June 2nd for his first interview after the show's dramatic reunion and quips, there are a couple of topics we could cover. He's not wrong. It's been a wild few months of change for Cook, 43, who has starred on the Bravo show about a group of New Yorkers who share a vacation house in the Hamptons since 2017. On January 19th, he and his wife of 4 years, Amanda Batula, announced their split. Viewers have watched their romance play out since season one. From weathering scandals, Cook admitted to cheating on Batula, 34, in 2018, to their 2021 wedding. But no one was expecting the biggest twist. On March 31st, Batula and co-star West Wilson announced on Instagram that they were dating. The news was seismic. Wilson, 31, previously dated their castmate, Ciara Miller, who was Batula's close friend. Sometimes it doesn't feel real until I see them together, says Cook. I considered West a really good friend, and this is just not something I can fathom doing to anybody that's close to me. Despite the, quote, spidey senses, unquote, of his castmates, Cook, an entrepreneur raised in New Hampshire, says he was oblivious to rumors about Batula and Wilson. His realization came days before their relationship announcement, when he noticed Batula's phone location. not yet turned off since their separation, which confirmed she spent the night at Wilson's apartment. I could not sleep, Cook says. He reached out to Miller, 30, who insisted they meet in person. Ciara is a homebody. She wants to drag herself to my apartment to have a huddle. I had a sinking feeling in my stomach. They compared notes, and indeed signs pointed to a relationship. When Batula called to tell Cook the news one day before it went public, I was still in disbelief, he says. In the aftermath, Cook has gained sympathy from fans, especially for how he's been protective of Batula's mental health, though it follows his own contentious season. On two occasions on Summer House, he lashed out at Batula. I'm really disgusted with myself, he admits. Just because they end up in this relationship doesn't erase my mistakes. I've done my best to apologize and learn from it. Cook still speaks to Batula regularly. They share two rescue dogs, Reese and Ryder, and is reliving just how bad things got in his marriage as the new spinoff In the City airs. He says he's trying not to be consumed by the noise and is focused on moving forward, reviving his sparkling hard tea business, Loverboy, and entering his single era. And if he gets the call to return to Summer House, he'll entertain it, even if Batula and Wilson are in the picture. I'm just not the kind of guy that wants to close someone out of my life, particularly if they played a big part in it. I'm doing this the best I can. There is no playbook here. You are listening to People Magazine on Voice Corp. My name is Debbie, and now I'm going to continue to read. And Biba Rexha is playing by her rules now. After parting ways with her music label, the pop star found freedom by taking risks and telling it like it is. Biba Rexha has always kept it real. Unfiltered as ever, the pop star is gesticulating with foil-covered fingertips as she passionately discusses her recent career reset over a Zoom from her LA home. Since leaving her longtime record label in 2025 to become an independent artist, Rexha has been reclaiming her voice. After years of feeling like I had no power, it was very hard for me to tap into the real feelings. I kind of numb myself out, says Rexha, 36. She felt she was creatively smothered and had lost some of the best years of my life because of her last record deal. I think the most expensive currency in life is time, she notes, but you've got to move forward. The Grammy-nominated star is doing just that with her fourth album, Dirty Blonde. It's out now. An electrifying return to her dance pop roots that showcases her vulnerable lyricism. I felt free, she says, of making music on her terms for the 13-track visual album. I don't like being stuck in a box. A prolific songwriter, Rexha got her start, crafting hits for A-listers like Eminem and Rihanna's The Monster. Since her solo debut in 2014, she has found success across genres, from her record-breaking country ballad, Meant to Be, with Florida Georgia Line, to the high-octane EDM banger, I'm Good, Blue, with David Guetta. Raised by Albanian parents on Staten Island, Rexha was exposed to many types of music as a kid and has never stuck to a singular sonic palette. I always felt like I didn't fit the mold, she says. While many pop divas present a flawless facade, the I'm a mess singer has never shied away from airing her insecurities about body image and mental health issues in her music or social media feed. I've had ups, I've had downs, I've been skinnier, I've been fatter. I've been in between, she says. The most important thing for me is not only just looking hotter, but feeling hotter. These days, she declares, I'm way happier. Rexha has been transparent about the hardships she has endured. Last year, she posted about enduring a pregnancy loss and opened up about living with polyendocrine metabolic ovarian syndrome, PMOS, a hormone condition that can cause infertility, pregnancy complications, and weight gain in women of childbearing age. I think it's really important to be open about that, she says. People still don't understand it because we haven't done so much research with women's bodies. A perfectly polished celebrity persona may not be part of Rexha's DNA, and she's made peace with that. There's different kinds of pop stars, untouchable and relatable, she says. As much as I would have loved to be that untouchable pop star, I just feel like I have to be relatable and just always tell the truth and speak my story. On Dirty Blonde, Rexha gets autobiographical about her latest ups and downs, including a recent heartbreak. I fell in love with somebody that I felt like could be the one or was the one, and then getting broken up with was hard, says the singer. She has since shifted her focus to finding a, quote, baby daddy, unquote, but says she's still searching for the right man. I've had some guys slide into my DMs and be like, I'm a multimillionaire. Let's go on a date. Why don't you lead with, hello, you're beautiful. And if we like each other, you could buy me a nice bag. Take me to nice dinners. For now, Rexha is embracing this era as an independent woman and artist, a testament to her resilience. Before deciding to call the shots herself, she met with major record labels that rejected her for the craziest reasons, deeming her too old, she says. But she was undeterred. I could have easily just stopped. I'm most proud of not giving up. And as she adds, I'm finally going to just do what I want. Here is Killed for her unborn baby. Mom attacked by her wedding photographer. It's a People magazine exclusive that I told you about. Taylor Parker paid an unexpected visit to her pregnant friend, Reagan Simmons Hancock, and tried to steal her baby, a tragedy that claimed two lives. Reagan Simmons Hancock was over the moon about becoming a mother for her second time when she learned she and her husband, Homer Hancock, were expecting a baby girl in November 2020. She was a mama bear, says Reagan's mother, Jessica Brooks. She was only 17 when she was pregnant with their first one, Kylie, and they were each other's worlds from the very beginning. As the couple excitedly made arrangements to welcome another addition to the family, Reagan, 21, wrote on Facebook, "We cannot wait for our son, Braylon Sage, to be here. Daddy is definitely outnumbered." But the happy day would never come. On the morning of October 9th, 2020, as Brooks, 47, headed to her daughter's house in New Boston, Texas, to check on her, she found the garage door open and a bloody fingerprint on a doorknob, says Brooks. That's when I saw her. Her blonde hair was red. Blood was everywhere. Brooks ran outside, fell to her knees, and screamed, "Help me! My daughter has just been murdered!" Reagan, who'd been attacked with a blunt object and stabbed and cut open with a large, sharp blade more than 100 times, was dead on the living room floor, and the baby she was carrying had been cut out and removed. Overwhelmed by the horrific scene, Brooks was sitting in a police car in front of the Hancock's house when she learned from a Facebook post the beginnings of what authorities would determine had happened inside. Reagan's friend, Taylor Parker, 33, the photographer at the couple's wedding, used a scalpel to cut Hancock's unborn baby from her womb to claim her as her own in an attempt to prop up her relationship with the new boyfriend. Pulled over by police for driving erratically shortly afterward, Parker initially claimed she had just given birth to a baby who wasn't breathing. But after a doctor at the hospital where she was taken examined her and reported to police she had not given birth, she was arrested and subsequently tried for capital murder. Found guilty by a jury on October 3, 2022, Parker is now the youngest woman on death row in Texas. Now the twisted layers of deception, fraud, and what Reagan's family has called evil, leading to the barbaric crime, are revealed in a new Netflix documentary. Maternal Instinct premiered in June. It's already on. The film details Parker's troubled relationship with Texas Roofing Company supervisor Wade Griffin, whom she met at a rodeo, and her desperate bid to hold on to him by pretending to be pregnant with his child, and ultimately to appear to have given birth by killing her friend and stealing her baby. To her, it was just whatever I've got to do to keep this man with me, says Parker's former friend, Mackenzie Bright, in the documentary. Twice divorced with two children from previous relationships, Parker, a country girl from Sims, Texas, had a history of quickly insinuating herself into the lives of new friends and craved attention, especially from men, says Bright. Just weeks after meeting Griffin, who sold hogs as a side job, in July 2019, she told her new boyfriend she was pregnant with twins, but later said she lost the babies in a fluke accident, one of dozens of health emergencies she had claimed over the years. Though Griffin had limited income, she encouraged him to buy cattle, an $87,000 pickup truck, an $80,000 tractor, and other big-ticket items, with the promise that she would repay him from the $8 million inheritance she was due to receive. Friends and family were happy for the couple, but soon turned wary when the pair began talking about buying $20 million. Next, Tony Hale is one of the good guys. As Forky in Toy Story 5, and in the cast of lovable neurotics he's played, he puts the humanity in Hollywood. In the early days of Tony Hale's career, the actor remembers being overwhelmed by the Hollywood machine. "This business does not care about you, Tony," someone once advised him. "I was like, ouch, that hurts." But he wasn't wrong, recalls Hale, 55. "At the time, I was like, is this what I'm in for? If so, I don't know if I can remain a person of character." Then in 2003, he met Henry Winkler, his co-star on Arrested Development, the series that became Hale's big break. "He is so gracious and giving," Hale says of the veteran actor, now 80. "He was a lighthouse for me. I was like, it is possible to succeed in this business and be kind." In the more than two decades since, Hale's been guided by that principle and proven that nice guys can make it in Hollywood. After five seasons as Mama's Boy Buster Bluth, Hale won two Emmys as Veep's haplessly devoted Gary Walsh, assistant to Julia Louis-Dreyfus's VP, Selena Meyer. Now he's more in demand than ever. In June alone, he appears as the harried HR director in the Jennifer Lopez Netflix rom-com Office Romance, begins work on a new Nancy Meyers film, the father of the bride's director first feature in 11 years, with Penelope Cruz, and is returning to a character close to his heart. The clueless but endlessly inquisitive spork-turned toy, Forky, in Toy Story 5, in theaters now. "You have to find compassion for your characters," he says. "I just wanted to give Gary and Buster a hug. With Forky, not only do I have compassion for him, I want to be him. He came into the universe having no idea of labels." Hale jokes that he excels at playing neurotics because he understands them personally. Growing up an army brat in Europe and later in Tallahassee, Florida, Hale suffered from asthma so severe he landed in the ER dozens of times before high school. He's also waged a lifelong struggle with anxiety. When he was younger, those conditions were like an identity, he says. But, God willing, this stuff gives you an empathy for other people. While asthma and anxiety no longer have a grip on him, he admits he still travels with his inhaler like a security blanket. When he realized he'd forgotten it on his way to the June 2nd red carpet premiere of Office Romance, Hale turned back. It's like Tony's accessory. At home in Birmingham, Alabama, where his family moved 2 years ago, you're not on the hamster wheel as much here. He's grounded by his wife, Martel, 60, an Emmy-winning makeup artist, and daughter, Loy, 20, a college student. "We make each other laugh really hard, which is medicine," he says of his wife of 23 years. Their secret? She's my best friend. Our relationship is a life source. But he still needs to keep his anxiety in check. He's learned to avoid triggers, like horror movies. The last one he saw? A Nightmare on Elm Street in 1984. There's enough fear in the world. Why are we sitting in a large room choosing to be more afraid? He also weaned himself from checking his daughter's location on his phone. "My wife can look at it in a healthy way. But if my daughter's not in her dorm room, I'm like, she's being attacked. It's not good for me." Instead, he leans into the beautiful message in Toy Story 5, in which the toys and their kid, Bonnie, are confronted by the lure of technology. "That will never replace true connection," Hale says, "and especially in a world and a business that can be callous. Why not use that connection as an opportunity to care for other people?" And you are listening to People Magazine on Voice Corps. My name is Debbie Stevens, and now I'm going to continue to read. Up next, Inside the Rise of Earth, Wind, and Fire. Bring on the funk. How the leader of the band behind Shiny Star and September survived a fractured childhood to create timeless hits. For half a century, the blast of Earth, Wind, and Fire's horn section has served as a triumphant fanfare on the dance floor. Songs like Shining Star, Sing a Song, Boogie Wonderland have become synonymous with celebration. Yet they were crafted by a man whose life was shaped by loneliness, loss, and a search for connection. Frontman Maurice White's story is at the heart of Earth, Wind, and Fire, To Be Celestial versus That's the Weight of the World, a new HBO Max documentary directed by Questlove. Born in Memphis in 1941, White endured an unstable childhood marked by separation from his mother while his grandmother raised him and the death of his father at a young age. Music became both a refuge and a purpose. After moving to Chicago as a teen, he worked at the legendary Chess Records. While honing his skills as a producer, he began developing a vision. He said, "I want to have a band that renders a service to humanity," bandmate Philip Bailey, 75, tells People magazine. To make that vision a reality, White assembled a formidable group of musicians, including bassist Verdeen White and drummer Fred White, his younger half-brothers. "We were into the concept, we were into the music, and we were in it together," Verdeen, 74, says. Though not a blood relative, percussionist Ralph Johnson says it felt like a band of brothers. "We did it to the max because we believed in it." With Maurice as maestro, Earth, Wind, and Fire fused funk, jazz, pop, gospel, soul, classical, and African rhythms into a sound unlike anything else on the radio. Maurice used to say, "There's something in there for everybody," Bailey recalls. It was an expression of unity for the turbulent early 70s. "Politics were at the forefront of that period," says Johnson, 74. "We were the right band at the right time with the right message." For Maurice, Earth, Wind, and Fire became the close-knit surrogate family he had longed for as a boy. "For at least 10 years, I saw those guys more than I saw my wife and my kids," says Bailey. And like most families, they sometimes disagreed. Case in point, Bailey initially was not sold on the 1978 hit September. The singer thought the Now Class's ba-dee-ra refrain was kind of corny, he says. "But I was definitely wrong." As the band's popularity grew, so did its ambitions. Live performances evolved into dazzling spectacles with Broadway-level choreography, Egyptian-inspired costumes, and levitation tricks courtesy of world-class musicians. As songwriter, producer, arranger, and frontman, White carried the weight of an ever-expanding enterprise. In 1984, he stunned his bandmates by dissolving Earth, Wind, and Fire. The decision was especially painful for Verdeen, who spent years estranged from his older brother. Today, however, he sees a man overwhelmed by the demands of success. "It's a lot of pressure with all the music, the traveling, and the performing," he says. "The demand was huge." The band reunited later in the decade and continued performing together until White was sidelined by Parkinson's, which claimed his life in 2016. Fred White died in 2023, but Verdeen continues to tour with Johnson and Bailey. Today, the surviving members are struck by how much of White's vision endures. "I think Maurice would be pleased," Verdeen says. "I think he would be pleased that the three of us are still here, Philip, Ralph, and myself, to tell the story." How about People Magazine's Fun and Games? It's flashback to 2003. Harrison Ford is in love with life, fatherhood, and Calista Flockhart. From People Magazine's June 23, 2003 issue. For better or worse, Harrison Ford is particularly used to one thing. "I'm good at changing diapers," says the actor, 60, a father of four and grandfather of two. "It's all for a very good reason." "I'm in love," he says, of his partner, actress Calista Flockhart, who adopted son Liam, age two, in 2001. Such a declaration is a welcome admission from Ford, who has specialized in no comments since the When Harry Met Ally headlines first trumpeted the match a year ago. Romantic love is one of the most exciting and fulfilling kinds of love, and I think there's a potential for it at any stage of your life, says Ford, who met Flockhart, 38, at the 2002 Golden Globes. Just as he has embraced Liam, the Ally McBeal star has been welcomed by Ford's children and his mother, Dorothy. "He has a wonderful family, and they've been really good to me," Flockhart says. "Over the years," Ford says, "I still work on being a better father. I work at being a better mate. I've learned a lot from my relationships, and I've learned a lot from my kids. And Star Trek's Turning Heads, Beyoncé performed her number one song, Crazy in Love, at the Essence Awards in tribute to Entertainer of the Year honoree Queen Latifah. And Can't Stop the Beat, Harvey Fierstein, shown here, put on a show with Dick Latessa and the cast of Hairspray at the Tony Awards, where the musical won 8 trophies. And in the news, 2003, wedding. After reconciling in the fall of 2002, supermodel Christy Turlington, 34, and actor Ed Burns, 35, married in San Francisco. Kate Winslet, 27, said, "I do," to film director Sam Mendes, 37, in an impromptu Caribbean wedding. Engaged, Elizabeth Banks, 29, got engaged to UCLA business student Max Handelsman, age 30. The couple planned to tie the knot in October. And I'm a dork. I spend most of my weekends watching movies. That was from Devin Aoki. How about one last thing with Idris Elba? The recently knighted actor, 53, stars in the new live-action He-Man movie, Masters of the Universe. Last time I was nervous. I wouldn't say nervous, but I care about my work so much, especially as a DJ. I want to make sure everyone has an amazing time. It gives me butterflies in my stomach, but I'm really in love with that feeling. Last impulse purchase, I saw this beautiful watch and thought, that is fly. I want that. So I got it. I feel guilty sometimes, but I did it. When it comes to things that spoil myself, I'm like, I don't need it. Last perfect day off, I had my music studio at home refurbished. So I was in there the whole day. I mean, from 8 in the morning until 3 in the morning the next day. I had no interruptions and made a great remix. Perfect. Last time I scored dad points, my daughter, Ison, and I are going to spend a day together in New York. I called her and was like, yo, you want to do that? She was like, what? I'm busy. And then she was like, okay, I'm going to change stuff around and take you on a tour. I definitely feel I got some points for that. Last moment of gratitude, not to sound corny, but I try to feel that every day. Someone said to me, when things go wrong, add these words. Well, good thing. So let's say your tire is busted and it's raining. Well, good thing you didn't crash over a cliff. It makes you feel quite wonderful. From People's Scoop section, from Sexiest Man Alive to Martini Man, Jonathan Bailey talks summer plans and his latest sexy gig. After taking a quick break from acting following the blockbuster Wicked for Good, Jonathan Bailey is back to kick off summer in style. The British actor, 38, is partnering with Italian aperitivo brand Martini, starring in a new short film and portrait series. How did your role as Martini Man come to be? My love for Italy knows no bounds, the food, the culture, and the people. So it was a no-brainer. It's my place of calm. I've been going there for the past 15 years. I grew up with Martini in the house. And there's nothing more sophisticated and sort of sexy than a Martini spritz. Any fun summer plans? I'll be working on a film, but I'm going to do loads of cycling. I'd love to go to the Dolomites and some beautiful places around Munich. My friends are going to come over, and I've managed to slip in a couple of music festivals already. Do people recognize you cycling? No, because I'm in head-to-toe Lycra, he says, laughing. They will if I start singing, probably. Just a reminder, you are listening to People Magazine on Voice Corps. My name is Debbie, and I'm going to continue to read. And continuing from People's Scoop section, That's Amore. Inside Dua Lipa and Callum Turner's star-studded second wedding in Italy. Dua Lipa and Callum Turner said, I do, again, just 1 week after the couple got married in an intimate town hall wedding in London on May 31st. They set off for Sicily, where they celebrated once more with an extravagant 3-day Italian affair. Dua couldn't be happier, source says. The London ceremony was exactly what they wanted. It was intimate, meaningful, and they were surrounded by loved ones. By the end of the week, the newlyweds had left London's gray skies for sunny Sicily, where they greeted guests on June 5th in Palermo for their destination wedding. The singer, 30, and the actor, 36, were photographed out in the streets, smiling and kissing among guests that included actor Joe Alwyn, who starred with Turner in the 2021 film The Last Letter from Your Lover, and pop star Charlie XCX and her husband, the 1975 drummer, George Daniel. Lipa embraced bridal white in a floor-length backless Bottega Veneta dress that featured a halter neck and lots of feathery fringe, and she accessorized with Bulgari jewelry. The main event took place on June 6th at Villa Valguerra, a glamorous estate built in the 18th century in the town of Bagheria. A reported 200 guests were on hand to watch the couple tie the knot again, including Donatella Versace, Olivia Dean, and Lipa's Cold Heart collaborator, Elton John, who sang his classic Your Song as Lipa and Turner exchanged vows. Celebrated local chef Tony Lococo catered the event with Italian specialties like Analetti alla Norma and cannoli, according to Vanity Fair, while DJs Carl Cox, Martin Garrix, David Guetta, and Peggy Goo helped get guests on the dance floor. The double nuptials come more than 2 years after Lipa and Turner first started dating in January 2024. She confirmed their engagement to British Vogue in June 2025 and said she was waiting to plan the wedding until she had finished touring in support of her 2024 album, Radical Optimism. This decision to grow old together, to see a life, and just, I don't know, be best friends forever. It's really a special feeling, she told the outlet. The couple chose to marry in Sicily after vacationing there last year and falling in love with the energy, the source says, adding they get to enjoy the best of both worlds, a private moment together in London and a larger celebration with family and friends in Italy. And Haley Seinfeld and Josh Allen celebrate their first anniversary with sweet gifts. Josh Allen and Haley Steinfeld are embracing life as new parents as they celebrate a big milestone. The actress, 29, and the Buffalo Bills quarterback, 30, who tied the knot in Santa Barbara on May 31, 2025, marked their first wedding anniversary by sharing black and white photos from their big day on Instagram with the caption, "Oh, to relive this day over and over." Steinfeld, who announced the birth of the couple's first child in April, offered a glimpse into their wedding celebration in a June 3rd Substack, writing, "We were sitting on the couch watching our wedding video with our daughter." They also shared an intimate dinner that reimagined their wedding feast and included tortilla soup and slices of gooey butter cake, a dessert Steinfeld called their favorite date night treat, and exchange meaningful gifts. The first anniversary is paper, symbolizing a blank slate. New beginnings, Steinfeld wrote. I got Josh a deck of custom playing cards with a photo from our wedding, and he printed and framed our favorite wedding photos for the house, which was the best surprise. Inside the shakeup, Scott Pelley fired amid turmoil at 60 Minutes. When he was abruptly fired from 60 Minutes on June 2nd, veteran correspondent Scott Pelley went from covering the world's biggest headlines to becoming one. The day before his dismissal, Pelley, 68, clashed with newly hired executive producer Nick Bilton during an internal staff meeting, where he also accused CBS News editor-in-chief Barry Weiss of murdering the long-running news program. According to the New York Times, Pelley told Bilton, 49, that Weiss, 42, has no qualifications for her job, and you have slender qualifications for this job. In a termination letter, Bilton accused Pelley of ambush and misconduct during the meeting. It was the most dramatic moment yet amid rising tensions at the show since Weiss arrived at CBS last fall. Following his firing, Pelley, who joined CBS in 1989, released a statement saying that 60 Minutes lost its DNA when our entire senior leadership and two of our best on-air correspondents, seemingly referring to Cecilia Varga and Sharon Alfonsi, were cruelly fired without cause in May. The same day, Weiss announced Bilton, a tech journalist, as executive producer, Tanya Simon's replacement. Pelley also accused Weiss of injecting falsehoods and bias into politically sensitive stories. In an interview with the New York Times, he referenced coverage of the Minneapolis protests during the ICE crackdown and alleged that Weiss pushed producers to make the protesters look more violent. A CBS spokesperson denied the claim, saying Weiss's notes had no political motivation and were intended to make the piece as strong, fair, and accurate as possible. Correspondents Leslie Stahl, Bill Whitaker, and John Wertheim announced in a memo to colleagues they have decided to remain on the show despite being deeply upset over the firings, writing, "We don't want to see 60 Minutes die." Former producer Rome Hartman says staffers are still in shock. For most, it's been the worst 10 days of their careers. And the big names in and out. These are the ones that are out. Anderson Cooper, Sharon Alfonsi, and Cecilia Varga. And Anderson Cooper left of his own accord. Staying, Bill Whitaker, Leslie Stahl, and John Wertheim. And Ariana Grande and Ethan Slater break up after nearly 3 years. It's the end of the yellow brick road for Wicked co-stars Ariana Grande and Ethan Slater. The singer, 32, and actor, 34, who were first romantically linked in July 2023, quietly broke up several months ago, a source tells People magazine. It's amicable. They gave it lots of time and careful consideration and decided to go their separate ways, says the insider. They're still friends and very supportive of one another. Grande, who will release her eighth studio album, Petals, next month, and Slater first met in late 2022 while filming 2024's Wicked and its 2025 sequel, Wicked for Good, in which she starred as Glinda and he played Bach. Ariana is doing great, adds the source. She's been focused on her tour and her upcoming new album. Devoted daughter. Sofia Vergara on looking after her mother's health and her modern family group chat. Sofia Vergara, 53, is partnering with pharmaceutical company Boehringer Ingelheim to share how UACR screenings, simple urine tests, can help detect early kidney damage and heart attack or stroke risk. The mission is close to the actress's heart as her mom, Margarita, faces the challenges of high blood pressure. What has it been like looking out for your mother's health as she gets older? A little frustrating. I'm her health advocate, and she's at this point in her life where she just wants to enjoy things and doesn't want to go to the doctor. She's in her 70s and she's very active, but she has very high blood pressure. I'm always trying to remind her, this is very serious. I want you around a long time. How have you reprioritized your own health? I want to be active. I still feel like I have many years ahead of me. I have a son that's 34, and I want to be a grandmother. One of my great aunts, she's 106, so maybe I want to be 106, but I'll be happy with 100. Where are you in touch with your former Modern Family co-stars? We see each other, but not as much as we should. I miss everyone, but Ed O'Neill the most, because I spent most of the 11 years with him. He's such a great friend. We use a group chat a lot. Ed answers like 5 days later, and then we have no clue what he's answering. And stories to make you smile. Marilyn Monroe 100th birthday celebration sets record. Palm Springs, California. 2 days before what would have been Marilyn Monroe's 100th birthday, 1,037 people dressed as her and gathered in Palm Springs to celebrate the milestone. On May 30th, a sea of lookalikes flooded the city, which is home to a larger-than-life statue of the screen star titled Forever Marilyn. The gathering broke the Guinness World Record, which was previously set at 254 people in 2020. And Puppy, to be preparing to be a service dog, gets a newborn photo shoot. Morristown, New Jersey. As 7-week-old Black Lab Timmy started his journey to become a seeing eye dog, photographers Laura Cara and Stephanie Blum picked an adorable way to honor him, taking a page from the shoots Cara had done for human babies. The images created a viral sensation the internet didn't know it needed, the two wrote. Blum is fostering Timmy as a volunteer for the nonprofit The Seeing Eye, teaching the pup house manners until he's around 13 to 60 months old, when he'll start formal training to be a guide dog, supporting people who are blind. Wrote Cara, the overall puppy sweetness had us melting the entire shoot. And it shows him under a blanket with a little nightcap on. It's blue. He's a black lab and holding little puppies. Well, that's all the time we have for People Magazine. Your reader has been Debbie Stevens, and thanks for listening. Stay tuned for more programming on VoiceCourse, your audio access to the world.